Good morning. Was that great? When I came in this morning and saw these flowers here, I felt like I arrived at my own funeral. But I brought tissues, so it's okay. I hope you have some too. When I asked Lisa this week what I should talk about here on my last Sunday with you as a preacher and pastor at Providence Presbyterian Church, should I be witty or winsome or wise? Maybe say something interesting or innovative or important. And Lisa told me, nah. Just cut to the chase. Everybody wants to get down to the food and get the party started. So I'll see about doing that. This is a day that we didn't really see coming or weren't looking forward to, but it's here. And in the words of Shakespeare, once more into the breach, dear friends. Once more into the breach. So once more will you join me as we turn again to God's word and scripture and seek a word for our lives today. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I wonder if you've heard this story before. In an old house in Paris that was covered with vines, lived 12 little girls in two straight lines. In two straight lines, they broke their bread, they brushed their teeth, and they went to bed. They smiled at the good, and they frowned at the bad. And sometimes they were very sad. They left the house at 9:30 in two straight lines, in rain or shine. And the smallest one was Madeline. A few weeks ago on Easter Sunday, I talked about how Abigail was hunting around in this big box of books at our house, looking for a story that she could understand, one that she could read over and over again and maybe even memorize. Well, the story of Madeline is one of those kinds of stories. Madeline, you remember, was not afraid of mice. She loved winter, snow, and ice. To the tiger in the zoo, Madeline just said, poo-poo. So memorable. I think you've read it before. We've read it so many times with Abigail that as we go along, she knows what's about to happen next. She anticipates it. So if we leave off the last word of a line, she'll supply it. She'll say it. She'll shout it out. It's a story we've been telling her for so long that she knows it and she loves it and she's even starting to tell it for herself. It turns out the gospel story is this kind of story as well. And it works this way for us too. It's not the story of PPC and it's certainly not the story of Pastor Dave, but it is and has always been God's story. We've been hearing it and sharing it, starting to tell it together for some years now. A wise pastor once told me that all preachers really just have one sermon, and that every week we just sort of tell another version of that same one sermon. By now you probably know what my sermon is, because I think I've been telling it to you every week for a few years now. It's a story about God's love for us. And how God's grace claims us before we know what to do. Even when we're stuck or stranded in our sin, God reaches out to us in Jesus Christ and offers us a way into life eternal. And then we are called to live together in this community of people who are also experiencing this transformation called the church. It's a family of faith. And this group of saints and sinners together, that's you and me. We're called to reach out with love into our community and our city and our world. And that's the basic story. It's not a story that's about us, but it's a story about God and what God has done. And God has done amazing things. Amen? The people in our scripture text today from the book of Acts had also seen some of the amazing things that God had been doing. We catch on after the story actually takes place, so we hear what Peter says about it. This all comes from the third chapter of the book of Acts, which you might remember is sometimes called the history book of the New Testament. Jesus had risen on Easter and had ascended into heaven. And then the disciples had received the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And when they did, they started doing all kinds of things they couldn't do before, like talk to each other in a new way, like listen to what others were saying, even when they came from somewhere very different than themselves. It was amazing, and everyone who saw it had awe at the wonders and signs that were being done by those apostles. And one of the wonders and signs that was being done is described just before our story for today. It goes like this. Peter and John had gone one day to the temple, and as they were entering, they encountered a man who was lame. He was unable to walk ever since birth. And he was sitting there outside the temple asking people for some help, for some mercy, for some spare change. And when Peter sees him sitting there on his mat, he says to him, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." He takes the man by the hand and lifts him up. And this man who has never walked in his life, or maybe it's been a long time since he even crawled, he stands up and his feet and ankles become strong. He starts walking and leaping and maybe even dancing with joy. He's praising God for this amazing thing that has happened to him. Everyone who witnessed it was filled with wonder when they saw what was happening. As we sit here today, I wonder if we might resonate a little bit with people in that story who also got to look in wonder and to see an amazing thing that God was doing. Because we've witnessed some of the amazing things that God has done even here in our midst, here with our church. The amazing thing to me about the life of PPC is not our size or our professionalism or our excellence at certain areas, but it's the spirit and it's the life that we find here. The vitality and energy and basically the fun of being all together. To all of this, we are witnesses. Pastor Mark Laberton tells a story of arriving in worship at his church one day to discover there was a pigeon in the rafters, and it was flying all around inside the church, and there was this team of very dedicated ushers, and they were working hard to get that pigeon out before worship started. You know what a pigeon could do to a settled sort of group of Presbyterians. So they were trying to whack it and catch it and force it out of open windows, and they just couldn't do it. And he said that by the time worship started, that pigeon was still there, flying around, fluttering. And when he greeted people that morning, he told them, "This pigeon is our call to worship." It brought a sense of watchfulness or expectancy. He said, yes, you don't know what a pigeon's going to do. He said, "If you all had been a little holier, God might have sent us a dove. But all we got was a pigeon, so..." And that's sort of the sense that I have for our church as well, that we've got pigeons flying around in our rafters, maybe bats in our belfry. Every week there's an idea or a feeling that there's joy and surprise, that we somehow are embracing the unexpected, that maybe anything could happen here. You know, like surprises we've seen, like the first Sunday that screen showed up here in worship. Many of you were surprised. Or the pictures that show up on it periodically during sermons. Very strange things to see. Or the joy of adult baptisms, like Sanford earlier this year, the time the three Cooper girls got baptized all together. Or in the steady stream of baby baptisms we've seen through the years. I wonder how many of those we've celebrated and seen. The surprising gift we've shared of not having to weather worship wars. Instead, we are led week by week by a bevy of talented musicians, the chancel choir, and the worship band, and the Ghana choir, and many more. Or the way children tromp around our church, making noise as if they own the place, as if they belonged here, and they grow up discovering that they do. Or the dangerous act of having an open microphone passed around every Sunday. as we share in our life together, as we listen for what God is doing in each other's lives, as we slip in the occasional announcement dressed up like a prayer concern. These are surprising things. We expectantly wait and watch. Or maybe the miracles that we've experienced together in your life or in mine or in the life of our daughter, Abigail Grace. One whose life was midwifed and brought about through very personal and persistent prayers. To this, we are all witnesses. And I guess here's the point today. As we read this story, this speech from the book of Acts, that these amazing things were happening and people were being astonished by all that they saw, that Peter tells the people, why do you stare at us? Why do you wonder at what you see? As if by our own power or our own piety, we had made this man stand up. As if we had relied on our own strength or skill set to bring about some amazing change. And this is the lesson for us today. If we think that the amazing things we experience are based on our own power or our own piety or our own Presbyterianism or our own pastor, it's not. Peter tells them this is not a story about me or what I have done. It's a story about God, the God who has been at work in us through Jesus Christ to reach out to the last and the least and the lost, and at least in this story, even to the lame. So it's a story about God, and yet somehow, as we've heard again and again, week by week, we find our story in that story. We find our life caught up in this life of God. I wonder where you find yourself in the story that I'm telling you today, the one from the book of Acts. Maybe you feel like that person on a mat. Surely sometimes we feel that way. The person who has such needs in his or her life who can't find a way forward on their own. A person in need of healing or mercy or a fresh start. Are you a man or a woman on a mat today? Are you here this morning feeling stuck or paralyzed in some aspect of your life? Or maybe the man on the mat this morning might seem to be our church, as we wonder, will we stand up again? Will we grow strong in our legs and ankles to dance and sing, to praise and worship? Are we the man on the mat this morning? Or perhaps you see yourself as a Peter from the story. You know, someone who's been called and equipped by God to reach out and meet the needs of a hurting world. Maybe you're feeling empowered these days in your job or in a new venture you've taken up, in a cause that you care about, maybe even as a leader here in this church. Are you Peter? Relying on God's power in your life, are you able to reach out in love to the people around you? Or maybe our church this morning is meant to be a Peter. A church that's concerned about the needs of our neighbors. A place that does not have too much gold or silver, but what we do have, we give. So that our outward focus may be a blessing to our community and our neighborhood, our city, and our world. As a church, are we like Peter today? And then there's a third possibility, and I guess this is where I want to lead us, that whether we are down like the man on the mat or up like Peter, full of power and spirit, that it is God who works through us in every circumstance that we face. And so, as we reflect on our lives and our time together in ministry, we're called to be witnesses. To be witnesses to what we've seen and heard. Whether down or up, rich or poor, in joy or in sorrow, in stability or transition, whatever our life circumstances as individuals or altogether as a church. It's the power of God that's at work in us. To this, we must be witnesses. I won't get to do this too many more times, I suspect, so let me see. God is good, and all the time, I hope you remember that. That God is good, and all the time, the call to us is the same as it ever was, to hear the good news of the gospel, to know that the promises of Christ and the grace of God are for you and for me, and that as we claim this identity in Christ, as we grow more and more as God's people together, we also move out to be a blessing to those around us, to share the story of God's love with a hurting world, to be a witness as a church body, and each of us as individual followers of Jesus Christ. I take with me to California all that I've witnessed here in Providence and the ways that God has been working in my life and in my family. I take all the memories and stories, the laughter and tears, all those folding chairs I set up. I take all of that with me. I seek to witness to that as I go into a new ministry. You have been witnesses to me as you've grown me up and nurtured me in what it means to be a pastor, what it means to be an adult believer, what it means to follow Christ through difficult times, hard times, low Sundays, and then how to rejoice. In a day like today, where we're packed elbow to elbow, where the joy of a Sunday morning that's week by week, where we feel again the excitement and joy, the unexpectedness, the pigeon in the rafters that God sends to us, if only it were a dove. Lisa told me to wrap it up, so I will. God bless you in the days ahead. I'll continue to pray for you. I hope you'll pray for me. I love you all very much. Let us never forget what God has done in and through and for us. We are witnesses to this. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.